Flight of the Falcon, written by Daphne du Maurier and read by James Callis.
Chapter 1. We were right on time. Sunshine Tours informed its passengers on the printed itinerary that their coach was due at the Hotel Splendido Rome at approximately 1800 hours. Glancing at my watch, I saw that it wanted 3 minutes to the hour. "You owe me 500 lira," I said to Beppo. The driver grinned. "Well, we'll see about that in Naples," he said. "In Naples, I shall present you with a bill for more than 2,000 lira." Our bets were continuous throughout the tour. We each kept a book, checked the kilometers against the time, and then settled up when either of us felt like paying. The latter generally fell to me, no matter who had come out on top with the betting. As courier, I received the larger tips. I turned round, smiling to my load of merchandise. "Welcome to Rome, ladies and gentlemen," I said. "The city of popes, emperors, and Christians thrown to the lions, not to mention the movie stars." A wave of laughter greeted me. Somebody in the back row cheered. They like that sort of thing. Any facetious remark made by the courier helped to establish the relationship between passengers and pilot. Beppo, as driver, may have been responsible for their safety on the road, but I, as guide, manager, mediator, and shepherd of souls, held their lives in my hands. A courier can make or break a tour. Like the conductor of a choir, he must, by force of personality, induce his team to sing in harmony, subdue the raucous, encourage the timid, conspire with the young, flatter the old. I climbed down from my seat, flinging wide the door, and saw the porters and pages hurrying from the swing doors of the hotel to meet us. I watched my flock descend. Sausages from a machine. 50 all told, no need to count the heads, for we had not stopped between Assisi and Rome, and led the way to the reception desk. "Sunshine Tours, Anglo-American Friendship League," I said. I shook hands with the reception clerk. We were old acquaintances. I'd been on this particular route for 2 years now. "Good trip?" he asked. "Pretty fair," I replied, "apart from the weather. It was snowing in Florence yesterday." "It's still March," he said. "What do you expect? You people start your season too soon." "Tell them that at the head office in Genoa," I answered. Everything was in order. We held block bookings, of course, and because it was early in the season, the management had fixed my whole party on the second floor. This would please them. Later in the year, we should be lucky to get the fifth, and tucked away in the rear of the building at that. The clerk watched my party file into the reception lounge. "What have you brought us?" he asked. "The Holy Alliance." "Don't ask me," I shrugged. "They joined forces at Genoa on Tuesday, some sort of a club. Beef and barbarians, the usual treatment in the restaurant at 7:30. "It's all laid on," he said. "The relief coach ordered for 9. I wish you joy." We use certain code words for our clients in the touring business. The English are beef to us, and the Americans barbarians. It may not be complimentary, but it's apt. These people were running wild on pasture land and prairie when we were ruling the world from Rome. No offense intended. I turned to greet the respective leaders of my Anglo-American group. "Everything's fine," I said. "Accommodation for all on the second floor, telephones in every room. Any queries, ring down to the desk and they'll put you through to me. Dinner at 7:30. I'll meet you here. The reception manager will now show you to your rooms. Okay?" Theoretically, this is where I laid off for an hour and 20 minutes, found my own small lair, had a shower, and collapsed. But it seldom worked that way. Nor did it today. My telephone buzzed as soon as I'd taken off my jacket. "Mr. Fabio," speaking, "it's Mrs. Taylor here. Utter and complete disaster. I've left every package I bought in Florence in that hotel in Perugia." I might have known. She'd left a coat in Genoa and a pair of overshoes in Siena. She had insisted that these things, almost certainly unnecessary south of Rome, must be telephoned for and forwarded to Naples. "Mrs. Taylor, I'm so sorry. What were in the packages?" "Breakables, mostly. There were 2 pictures, a statuette of Michelangelo's David, some cigarette boxes." "Don't worry. I'll take care of it. I'll telephone Perugia right away and see that your packages get to our office in Genoa and are waiting for your return.